ever had one of those cases, you know, where the opposing counsel is just doing everything they can to drag things out, miss deadlines, and make your life miserable, you just start thinking, like, can the court even do anything about this? Well, today we're taking a deep dive into a huge Supreme Court case, Roadway Express v. Piper. This one really digs into when and how courts can actually punish lawyers for using, I guess you could say, bad faith tactics in litigation.
It really is interesting because it's not just some old legal history, you know. It still has a big impact on how lawyers work today, affecting everything from how we plan out litigation to ethical stuff.
Definitely. Roadway Express kind of sets the stage for how we see attorney sanctions now and the limits of a court's inherent power.
Yeah.
So let's go back to 1975 for a minute. A class action lawsuit, civil rights, alleging racial discrimination is filed against Roadway Express. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
Well, it gets a little more complicated when you look at the plaintiff's lawyers, Piper Brain and Stromile, right? They weren't just missing a deadline here or there. This was a pattern, and the court really saw it as deliberate obstruction. I mean, they failed to respond to interrogatories, missed deadlines the court ordered, even ignored specific instructions from the judge. Like, they were told to file a brief analyzing a related case, and they just didn't.
Okay, so we're talking more than a little oversight here. This was a whole series of actions that really looked bad. So Roadway Express, understandably frustrated, they file a motion to dismiss the case. But they don't stop there. They also ask the court to make the plaintiff's lawyers personally pay, you know, all those attorney's fees, court costs Roadway had because of their actions.
That's a key point there. Roadway wasn't just trying to end the case. They were after some financial consequences. I mean, for what they saw as bad faith tactics.
And the district court agreed. They dismissed the case with prejudice, meaning the plaintiffs couldn't just refile it. And they hit those lawyers with a bill over $17,000 in fees and costs.
Oh, yeah. That decision really shook things up in the legal world. I mean, it showed everyone that there could be some serious financial consequences for lawyers pulling this kind of stuff.
No kidding. Naturally, those lawyers appealed, and eventually it landed in the Supreme Court. And by this point, there were two big legal questions everyone was asking. First, could a specific law, 28 USC section 1927, be used to make lawyers pay fees as part of costs,
Yeah.
you know, for delaying tactics or bad faith stuff? And second, if that law didn't work, did the court have some other way, like an inherent power, to impose these sanctions?
The Supreme Court's ruling, well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. They said that when Section 1927 talks about costs, they meant things like filing fees, transcript costs, not the fees you pay your own lawyer. So that option was closed.
Okay, so no using that law to hold those lawyers accountable financially. But what about the court's inherent power? Could that be used to impose sanctions?
The court did say that federal courts have this inherent power to sanction lawyers who are acting in bad faith. But they were really clear that this is a serious power. You don't use it lightly. You need a very specific finding of bad faith, not just being careless or making simple mistakes.
So it's kind of like this nuclear option the courts have, right? It's
Yeah.
there if they need it, but it shouldn't be the first thing they go for.
Exactly. And the court actually laid out specific procedures to use this power. We're talking about a separate hearing where the lawyer actually has the chance to defend themselves, present evidence, the whole nine yards.
That makes sense. You can't just accuse a lawyer of acting in bad faith without giving them a chance to explain themselves.
Right. Due process and all.
Right, exactly. And to clarify things even more, the Supreme Court also pointed out that if you have blatant discovery abuses, oh, a whole other can of worms there that can lead to fee awards under a different rule, Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 37. So basically, if you're intentionally messing with discovery rules, you are entering dangerous territory.
So we're starting to see a more complex picture, right? Sanctions are possible, but only under very specific conditions and with those procedural safeguards.
Yeah, the court actually put this very strong quote in their opinion to highlight this balance. Federal courts do have inherent power to assess attorneys' fees against counsel in cases of bad faith, vexatious, wanton, or oppressive conduct.
Wow, if I hear a judge using words like that, I know I'm in trouble.
Yeah, those are some heavy words. But the court, they immediately followed that up with something important. Such sanctions should not be assessed lightly.
So it's like they're walking a tightrope here. They recognize this powerful tool the courts have, but are also urging caution.
Exactly. It's a clear message. Sanctions should only be for those very extreme cases where you have clear evidence of intentional bad faith, not just a mistake here or there.
Now, this decision in Roadway Express, it wasn't unanimous, was it? There were some dissenting opinions offering some different ways to look at this whole thing.
You're right. Justice Powell, he wrote the majority opinion, and he was really focused on the limited scope of Section 1927. He was emphasizing inherent power as a last resort to stop truly bad behavior. But the dissenting justices, they had different concerns.
Okay, so let's break down those dissenting voices. What were their main points?
Well, Chief Justice Berger, in his dissent, he argued that civil rights statutes actually define attorneys' fees as costs. So he thought Section 1927 should apply in those cases. Justice Stevens went even further, claiming Section 1927 does allow fee shifting in civil rights cases no matter what.
Interesting. So we're seeing different interpretations of the law itself and how it applies to different situations.
Exactly. And then Justice Blackmun, he wasn't really looking at the scope of Section 1927 directly. He was more worried about the clients being punished financially instead of the lawyers who are actually doing the questionable stuff.
So he was bringing up a fairness issue, right? Making sure the punishment lands on the right people.
Exactly. He was all about protecting the clients from being unfairly penalized for their lawyers' actions.
This case really feels like it opened a Pandora's box. All these complicated legal and ethical questions, different interpretations, and so many potential implications for both lawyers and their clients.
Absolutely. Roadway Express v. Piper forced everyone to face a tough fact. Litigation, it's important for resolving disputes, sure, but it can be misused. And the courts, they have a duty to stop and punish truly abusive behavior. But the trick is finding that balance, ensuring access to justice while also protecting the legal process itself from being abused.
So we've explored the legal background of Roadway Express, looked at all the different opinions, and pulled out the key points about attorney sanctions and a court's inherent power. But what does all of this mean for lawyers on a daily basis?
That's a great question, and one we'll really dig into after the break. We'll be exploring how this case still affects legal strategy, ethical choices, and how lawyers approach those interactions with opposing counsel. You know, it's interesting with Roadway Express, it really shows that tension, right, that we have in our system between making sure everything's fair and keeping lawyers from just going scorched earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like walking a tightrope. We want people to have access to the courts, and lawyers need to fight for their clients, but we also can't have the legal process turn into a weapon. Like, it can't just be about who has more money to drag things out, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of the actual case.
That's it. And that whole idea of bad faith, it's slippery, where's the line? When does being a tough lawyer become, well, abusing the system?
Good stuff one. What if a lawyer truly believes their client has a good case, and they're just persistent, maybe even a little relentless? Is that bad faith, or is that just being good at your job? Seems like a lot of gray areas.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why the Supreme Court in Roadway Express, they really hammered home that sanctions are for exceptional cases. Courts have to be so careful about stepping in and saying, well, that was a bad strategy, because strong advocacy, that's like the foundation of how our system works.
So then how do we strike that balance? How do we make sure things are fair, people can use the courts, but also that it's not being taken advantage of?
Roadway Express gives us some clues, but it's not a perfect answer, more like a framework. It's something lawyers and judges deal with every day. You need good judgment, got to know the ethical rules inside and out, and a commitment to doing things the right way, you know, for the whole profession.
Sounds like Roadway Express is about more than just sanctions then. It's almost like a case about the very idea of being a lawyer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Even if you never end up facing sanctions yourself, the ideas behind Roadway Express, those should be with you all the time. It's about being strategic, sure, but also ethical.
So what advice would you give to a lawyer, especially someone newer to all this? How do they be effective, get things done for their clients, but also not, you know, fall into those ethical traps?
Start with knowing the rules of the game, literally. The rules of procedure, evidence, and those rules of professional conduct. Crucial. Can't play the game if you don't know the rules, right?
Knowledge is power,
yeah,
like they say. But it's more than just knowing the rules, right? It's knowing where the edge is.
Absolutely. Knowing the rules is step one. But then understanding the limits, like where does being aggressive become something that could get you sanctioned? That's where experience and judgment come in.
So be bold, be strategic, but be smart about it. Pick your battles.
Exactly. And don't forget, talking to your clients is huge. Explain the risks, the benefits of different approaches. Make sure they get it, you know, the possible consequences, legal and financial, if you get too aggressive.
Being a counselor, not just.
Yeah.
A hired gun.
Right. Sometimes the best move is to find a compromise, settle things, or even give a little on something small to win the bigger fight. And sometimes the best advice you can give is, this fight, not worth it.
So Roadway Express, it's not just about avoiding sanctions. It's about a way of thinking, a way of being a lawyer that puts integrity and professionalism first.
I agree completely. It's remembering that this isn't just some game. There are real people involved, real problems, real consequences. We got to act responsibly. And that means more than just winning, no matter what.
It's a powerful idea, especially now, you know,
yeah,
how things are. Okay, but let's switch gears a bit. We talked about the ethics of Roadway Express, but how did it actually change how lawyers approach legal strategy itself?
Great question. Roadway Express definitely made lawyers think harder about what could happen because of their actions, made them more aware of that line, you know, between zealous advocacy and something that gets you in trouble.
So it's not just about doing the right thing ethically, it's also about being strategic while considering those consequences, right?
Exactly. Lawyers started paying closer attention to the rules, especially discovery. I mean, breaking those could cost you big time. They got more careful about, say, filing motions that weren't really necessary, or arguments with no basis, because that could be seen as bad faith and sanctions.
So it put a damper on some tactics that were, well, maybe a little too close to the edge.
It did, and I think that's a good thing. It raised the standards for everyone.
Didn't it also make things harder, though, for lawyers trying to really fight for their clients? Mm. If you're always worried about getting sanctioned, can you really be a strong advocate?
That's a real concern. And honestly, it's something we're still figuring out. How do we make sure that fear of sanctions doesn't make lawyers afraid to take on the tough cases or make bold arguments?
It's a tough balance for sure. And finding that balance, it seems like, it takes more than just knowing the law. You need to understand the culture, what the courts expect, all of that.
Absolutely. And it takes us talking about these things, reflecting on them. Ethics, strategy, sanctions, not just in law school, but throughout our careers.
Because the law keeps changing, right? And the ethical stuff gets more complicated all the time.
Yeah. And Roadway Express, even though it was decided a while ago, it's still a reminder, we got to find that balance, you know? Fighting hard for our clients, but also keeping the integrity of the whole profession.
Really well said. This deep dive into Roadway Express, it's been really insightful. So much to think about when it comes to legal strategy, the ethical side of things, and what it really means to be a lawyer. But we're not done yet. We'll be back in just a moment to explore some of the bigger implications of this case and how it's still shaping legal practice today. Stick with us. Okay, so we've really dug into Roadway Express v. Piper, you know, the specifics of the case and then what it means for legal ethics and all those strategic choices lawyers have to make. But before we wrap things up, I'm curious, what do you think about how this case is still relevant today? It's not just some old case in a law book, is it?
Oh, definitely not. Roadway Express is still alive and kicking in courtrooms everywhere. Courts cite it all the time, especially when it comes to that inherent power they have to sanction lawyers. And it's interesting to see how, well, the whole legal profession has learned from it.
So it's not just judges coming down hard on bad behavior, but lawyers actually thinking about these things from the beginning.
Exactly. There's this awareness now, you know, about what could happen if you push things too far. And honestly, I think that's made things more professional, more ethical overall.
Is there a downside, though? Like, could this focus on sanctions actually make things worse? Could it make lawyers scared to take tough cases or to really fight for their clients, even when the client's position isn't popular?
That's the big question, isn't it? It's a real balancing act and something we have to keep thinking about as a profession. We can't let fear stop us from doing our jobs well.
So where's that sweet spot? How do we make sure sanctions are used the right way? You know, more like a scalpel than a sledgehammer.
Well, I think it starts with education. We've got to make sure law students, new lawyers, they get it, you know, the ethical side of Roadway Express. And not just in theory, but how it plays out in real life. Give them the tools to make good decisions, to see those gray areas where things can get tricky.
And it's not just for the new folks,
yeah,
right? Even experienced lawyers could use a refresher course, especially since things keep changing in the legal world.
Absolutely. It's a conversation that never really ends, and we should be having it everywhere, in firms, with our colleagues, in those professional groups, not just in law school or CLEs.
So as we wrap up our deep dive on Roadway Express, what's the one big thing you want our listeners to walk away with? What should they be thinking about as they go out there and, you know, deal with all the complexities of practicing law?
I think the core lesson of Roadway Express is this: everything we do as lawyers, it has consequences, not just for our clients, but for our own reputations, for the whole legal profession, even how the public sees the justice system. It's a lot of responsibility, but we should embrace it, not run from it.
Well said. It reminds us that being a lawyer is more than just a job. It's, you could almost say, a calling, something that takes both skill and integrity. And Roadway Express even with all its complications and different interpretations, it gives us a guide, you know, for how to navigate this challenging but ultimately rewarding path.
I agree. It's a case that keeps shaping how we see the law, our roles as advocates, and even what justice truly means.
This has been fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today. It's been a really interesting deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope this look at Roadway Express v. Piper has given you a better understanding of attorney sanctions, a court's inherent power, and all the ethical questions that are a part of legal practice every step of the way. Until next time, keep on learning.